Turn to someone on your right or left. Tell them how glad you are to see them. And you can be seated this morning. Amen. We certainly are glad to see everyone here at Word of Life Church this morning. We want to invite you to open up your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to look at verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, our ushers will be in the aisles now, ready and willing to give you a Bible. Or you can also feel free to use a form of media or device of some kind to look at scriptures that way, your iPad or iPhone. And a lady came up to me this morning before first service and said, "You always mention the iPad or iPhone. What about a Kindle Fire or Kindle Color?" And I said, "Yeah, you can use Kindle Fire, Kindle Color, whatever form of media you want to use, feel free to do that. Just make sure you're listening to me and looking at a Bible and not surfing the internet." So anyway, now if you surf the internet, that's fine, but our website is at thelife.cc. Thelife.cc, you can go there. Feel free to join in with us through that form of media. I had a message that I was going to preach, still the one from last Sunday that we never got to, called Think Big. But more throughout the week, I just sensed we should go in a little bit different direction and perhaps start a new series. A couple of weeks ago, I was praying and just decided for my own self, for my own devotional, to go back and just look at the life of Jesus. And to just start in Matthew and read from Matthew all the way to John and just see Jesus, see how he walked, see how he talked, see what he did, see how he responded to situations, read his words, and just learn from him. He is to be our role model. He is to be our example. And it didn't take me long until I got over into Matthew chapter 6. And I began seeing Jesus mention something. And I'd always read that passage of Scripture. But when I was reading it, it just bore witness with me. And I decided I needed to study it out a little bit further. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is listing some behaviors that should be in the lives of his disciples. Now, we're his disciples today, isn't that right? And so I was very aware that if he was wanting to see these things in the lives of these individuals, then it's something that God the Father is wanting to see in my life today. And he lists these behaviors and then after that tells them, if you do these things, then I will reward you openly. I will give you a reward that not only you can see, but that others can see as well. Then he lists another behavior and he says, if you do this behavior and you do it right, I will reward you openly. You'll walk in a reward that not only you can see, but others can see as well. And then he lists another behavior and says, if you do this behavior, I will reward you openly. And this is not just some type of spiritual reward. This is a reward that you can see and that others can see. And I began thinking about that, and I quickly in my mind realized that if he is linking a reward to a certain type of behavior, it must be because he really wants me to have that behavior in my life. Does that make sense? How many of you have kids? Anyone have kids this morning? Can I see a hand? Anyone have kids? Oh, lots of you have kids. No wonder they needed more help. But anyway, so lots of you have kids, so you know what I'm talking about. Have you ever told your kids that if you do such and such, if you're good at church today, then after church, I'll take you out and get pizza or take you out and get ice cream? Or if you're really good and act nice and use your manners, then I'll give you this, and you're talking about a reward. Well, why would you link a reward to that behavior? Because it's a behavior you really want to see them do. Am I right? What about, have you ever been driving, maybe you don't have kids, and you're driving down a road and you see maybe in your neighborhood on a light pole there a flyer and it's a reward for a dog, and there's the face of just a little dog there and underneath it's a $100 reward. Well, why would they link a reward to that dog? Because they want people actively out looking for it. You link rewards to behavior that you want. And there are some rewards that God says, if you do these things, I will reward you. Why would he do that? Because he really wants these behaviors a part of your life. So we may look in another service at some of those rewards there in Matthew chapter 6, some of those behaviors there, because immediately I began looking at those and saying, how can I make those a part of my life even more? If he's looking to reward it, I want to walk in it. Why? Because if he's wanting to reward it, it must mean, number one, it's really important to him. If he's linking a reward to this behavior, then this behavior, it must mean something to him, and that's enough for me to do it. But then not only that, I want to walk in all the rewards he's looking to give. I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss out on any of the things he's looking to bless me with. And so I begin studying those things, but not only that, I begin studying the word reward and looking for behaviors that God says he rewards. And I found that there are rewards in heaven, that one day when we're off of this earth and standing before Jesus, there are rewards that will be given. I also saw that there are rewards that can come in this earth that are very tangible rewards that we can see and that others could see too. I also saw that there are rewards for the wicked, and you don't want any part of those rewards. You want to walk as far away from those rewards as possible. But there's something today I just had on my heart to get to, and I won't take all of your time, and I know we had a baby dedication, so don't worry, I'm not going to keep you longer or any of that kind of thing. We're going to make this real simple. But I want you to see something, that God is saying something in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. That when you do this, I reward it. And so it means that this action, it must mean a whole lot to him. Let's see what it is. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. I'm in Hebrews 11 and verse 22. Okay, there's 6. Notice, but without faith, Hebrews 11 and verse 6, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is, notice this word, a rewarder. If you have a pen or a highlighter or something, if you can underline that or highlight that, put parentheses around it, something. But notice, you must believe this. You must believe that, number one, he is, and then number two, that he is a rewarder. But not only does it tell us that God is a rewarder, it tells us what he is rewarding. And notice what he says he's looking for. We must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God is a rewarder, and one of the things that he rewards is those who are diligently seeking him. Now let's talk about this word diligently real quickly here. To be diligent with something means to be constant with it. But it means more than that. We'll start there, though. If you're diligent with something, it means that you can be counted on to do it. You are reliable in it. It's not something that you're doing every once in a while. This is a constant act. To be diligent at work means that you are constantly performing. It's not every once in a while. You're doing it all the time. But it's more than just a habit. You know, there are some habits that you don't have to think about at all. Am I right? There are some habits, maybe it's like a bad habit, like biting your nails. You do it without even thinking about it. And that's what separates diligence from a habit. Diligence has the consistency of a habit, but it also has care. This word diligent means consistent care. That you're not just doing this consistently, but this is something that you genuinely in your heart want to do. That this is something that you are emotionally invested in. This is something that means something to you. And he says, I want you to do something with diligence. And when you do this, I will reward you. What is it, Lord? What is it, God? I want you to diligently seek me. Well, what does that mean, to seek him? It means to come to him, to draw near to him. He says, this coming near, this seeking me, is something that should be constant in your life, But it's not just a habit. It's actually something that you genuinely, you care about doing. And I began looking at that, and I had written out all my message and had all my scriptures and examples and stories. And I was looking at this last night, and the more I meditated on it and the more I thought about it, the more something stood out to me. I thought about this. Why would he have to reward that? I mean, of all the things you could link an incentive to, a reward for, why that? I get it very quickly. Like, one of the things God rewards is fasting. I get that. If I'm fasting, there better be a reward, a payoff at the end of it. I mean, you're not just going to fast just for fun. I mean, there needs to be some type of payoff. And that's one of the things that God says he rewards when we fast the way he wants us to fast. There are rewards there. Another thing that God says he rewards, I get very quickly. One of the things he rewards is giving. And there are some times where it's not convenient to give, but you have it on your heart to give. And your flesh doesn't want to do it, but you know there's a reward for it. And so he's tied that reward to help you do that action. I get how some people need a little bit of incentive there. One of the other things that there are rewards for is walking in love with your enemies. And I definitely get why there need to be a reward there, because your flesh doesn't feel like doing that all the time. Am I right? I mean, it's just, it's not fun, it's not pleasurable, but you know you need to do it because there are rewards when you do. I get why you'd need incentive to do some of those things. But why would he have to link a reward to wanting to just be with him? Why would he have to tie an incentive to that? I mean, I get that there are some Christians out there who the only reason why they got born again was to have a measure of life insurance. You know, they didn't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven, so better get that wrapped up. Because if I'm wrong and there is no God, I'm not without anything. But if I'm right and there is a God, then I better wrap this thing up where I can go to heaven. I get that there are some people out there like that who they never come to church, but they sometime accepted Jesus because they wanted life insurance. I get why there would need to be incentive for them to come deeper into their relationship with him. But I would think for the majority of us, that's not the case. I would think for us that in some way, Christ has touched our lives in some way. I know he has mine, and just touched our lives and made us who we are and exhibited so much love and patience and devotion and goodness to us that we make a decision to invite him to come into our heart and to make him our Lord and Savior, and then after that, to be with him. And I see this in my own life, and the more I understood it, the more I see the necessariness of him tying rewards to this type of behavior. But last night, I was confounded by it. Why does he need to link a reward for us wanting to be with him? Yeah, I think about my relationship with my wife. When I got in covenant with her, is because I wanted to be with her. I wanted to be with her for forever. And I knew that there would be some adjustments and some changes that I would have to make. I knew that there'd be have to do some things I needed to do or say or live a little bit differently in order to have a happy home. And, you know, I couldn't leave my shoes where I wanted to leave them. And, yeah, you know, I need to use Windex and all of those things. I wouldn't do that before. I knew that those things would be a part of it, that I would give those things up and do those things. But I got in a marriage relationship with her because I wanted to be with her. And with Christ, that is the foundation for our life, that we want to be with him. So why would he have to reward us for doing it? That'd be like my wife rewarding me because I wanted to spend time with her. Well, I should do that just because, right? So I was taking that with the Lord. Why would I need to be rewarded for coming into your presence, for seeking after you? And as I was thinking about this, just in my heart, I felt inspired to go read that story about Mary and Martha. Let's go over and look at it. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And let's look at this story here. in verse 38, Luke chapter 10, in verse 38, it's the story of Mary and Martha. I'm sure many of you are familiar with it. Mary and Martha were two individuals who Jesus really loved. I mean, these people and their brother was very close to Jesus, and he really had a large place in his heart for them. And we see him enter into the city where their house is, and he makes a decision he's going to stop by the house. And so I want you to see this event as it unfolds. I know you're all probably familiar with the story, but let's look at it in this light. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38, it says, "Now it came to pass as they went, they being Jesus and his disciples, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said, 'Martha, Martha,'" it's never good when he calls your name twice, "'Martha, Martha, thou art careful, full of care, and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful.'" Everyone say that. Say, "One thing is needful." Not optional. Needful. He says in verse 42, "One thing is needful. And Mary," you know that stung, no one likes being compared to their sibling, "and Mary hath chosen that good part, and it shall not be taken away from her." Mary has chosen that good part. He said, one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen it. But what did she choose to do? To sit at his feet. She's getting as close as possible to him as she can. To sit at his feet and to hear his word. Jesus said in Hebrews 11, verse 6, "I'll reward those who diligently seek after me." Why would he have to link a reward to that type of action, to seeking after him, to desiring to be with him? Why would he have to link a reward for that? The answer is found in these scriptures right here. Martha receives Jesus into her house, and Jesus is there, and you know with his presence, he's also traveling with an entourage. There comes a certain amount of pressure. Have you ever had someone come over your house before, and you knew that they were coming, and so naturally you felt pressure to do some things, right? They didn't ask you to cook, or they didn't ask you to clean, and they didn't ask you to make any type of preparation, but you knew that they were coming, so you felt that pressure of they're coming, so we better clean up or tidy up. This happened to us Friday. My sister-in-law, Lee, was coming over to bring us some cinnamon rolls that she was going to place in the cafe. I don't know if any of you had any of those cinnamon rolls, but it's good stuff. But anyway, she was bringing it over because, you know, I have to taste test it before I serve it to all of you. So anyway, she was bringing it over to the house for a taste test, and she called my wife and asked if we were home, and my wife looked at me, and I was watching at the Olympics sitting at the feet of gymnastics. And anyway, I'm there watching the Olympics, and my wife says, "Lee's coming, let's clean up." I said, "It's just Lee. It's just," and they'll need, we had to clean. "It's just Lee." So anyway, we wound up cleaning up. So we went and we cleaned up a little bit, and Lee came up. Well, why did we do that? Why did she feel? She felt the pressure to do it because someone's coming over to her house. Now, Lee didn't say before she came, "Could you get up and clean?" She didn't ask any of that, but she felt pressure of, my wife did, when someone comes over, you need the house clean, and that's good. Martha here is feeling the same thing. Now, let me ask you this. We read the story here. When Jesus came in, did he say, "Martha, I am just incredibly hungry, and I really, really would like some food"? Did he ask any of that or say any of that? No. Did he say, "Hey, Martha, this place, it's a little dirty, and there are a lot of people who are going to come when they find out I'm here, so you may want to clean up a little dust"? No, Jesus didn't say that, did he? See, he didn't ask her to do any of that. He didn't give her any instruction to do it. It's just, she felt the pressure to do it. He didn't say anything, but she felt the pressure of this place has got to get cleaned, and we got to get something for everyone to eat. And so she's in there, and she's just stewing. I mean, have you ever seen anyone stew? I mean, Martha is just, she's stewing. I mean, and she is just irritated because Mary is sitting in there at the feet of Jesus, and Martha is in that kitchen cooking away, baking away, trying to get Jesus a good experience because this is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And she's just, and you know, she's trying to, every once in a while, peeking her head in the room and trying to get Mary's attention, like, Mary, get in here and help me. And you know, Mary sees her out of the corner of the eye, but acts like she doesn't see her. Have you ever had anyone do that? And she keeps doing it. And you know, a disciple kind of pokes Mary in the ribs and say, Martha's trying to get your attention. And Mary just refuses to look over. And so Martha's had it. She can't take this, as Keith Moore would say, stubborn heifer any longer. I mean, she's mad. She's irritated. And she's going to come in there and just put a stop to all this and make this right. And so she comes in there and interrupts Jesus while he's preaching, while he's talking. And she says, Jesus, tell this woman to get up and come help me. And Jesus looks at her. He says, Martha, Martha, really? He said, you are just full of care about so much. Where did it come from? It didn't come from Jesus. Jesus didn't ask her to do any of those things. She took it. She felt the pressure, and she took it. Jesus didn't ask her to do that, but she felt like she needed to. He said, you're full of care and troubled about many things. Let's just stop right here and say that whenever you're feeling that way, you know, I don't know if you've ever felt that way. I know I have. But whenever you are, something's not right. Did you know that Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light? Did you know Jesus was anointed with the oil of gladness above his brethren? And this is the reward of the presence of God. This is the reward that comes when you seek him. Over in the Old Testament, Moses was leading the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage into the promised land. And you know, there's a lot of stuff that comes up with that responsibility. He's got about a million plus people underneath his watch, and they're walking through a wilderness. You know, there were tempers that were flaring and fires he had to put out and people's wills he had to calm. Lots of stuff that he had to do. And one particular day, Moses walks away from the crowd and all of these things, and he just starts fellowshipping with the Lord. He draws near to him. And he tells the Lord, basically, I just want to be with you. And he said, look, Lord, if we go into this promised land and you're not with us, I don't want to go. I'd rather stay out here in this wilderness with your presence than be in the promised land without you. And I love God's response because it just bashes a lot of people's view of God right in the face. God says you can have both. He said you can go in here and walk in the promised land and have my presence. It's not either or, it's both. You can have both of them. You can have my presence and you can walk and live in a blessed land. He says my presence, this is what I love, God tells him. My presence will go with you and I will give you rest. You know what that word rest means in the Hebrew? The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. New Testament was written in Greek. It means to settle down. Moses, my presence is going to go with you. And here's what it's going to do. It's going to enable all this stuff to just settle down. When you make the presence of the Lord a priority, it causes all of the things in your life to just settle down. In Martha's life, what was going on? The complete opposite. She had a whole bunch of stuff popping up. All of these things she felt like, man, I need to do. I need to be a good house guest. I need to do these things. And you know what? When I read that story, I immediately saw why there needs to be a reward for seeking him. Because I've noticed this in my own life, there is pressure that comes with my life. And pressure comes with yours too. I don't know your life, so I'll just use mine as a frame of reference. There is pressure that comes with delivering on the job, by preaching a sermon, and my work is on display for all of you each and every week. If I don't do my work, you can see it. I hope you know the difference between someone who's winging it up here and someone who really took the time to invest in it. But my work is on display in front of a lot of people, and so with that, there's pressure that comes with that. Especially if you've got to preach a number of times a week and different messages, and when I throw away my outlines at the end of every sermon because I don't want to ever come back and just preach material that I preached before simply because I ran out of time, so just pulled an outline. There's pressure that comes with that. I've got to get a message up. And on your job, it may be I got to make this sell, or I got to provide for my family here, or man, we got to turn this company around, or I got to work 50 hours this week, or whatever it may be. But there's pressure that comes there. And so you feel pulled and compelled to act. And that's what pressure does. Then after that, you know, you have pressure of you want to be a good husband. And so you want to do right there. And then you have kids. So you have pressure of wanting to be a good father. It leads to action of going to games, soccer games, all of these things, Spanish classes, that kind of thing. Then you got pressure of being a good boss. And so you got to read these books and take care of that and come up with an organizational chart and all of these things. And then you got that pressure that comes with being a son, or pressure that comes with being a friend, and other people are looking for you to do some things or be some things. And with all of that pressure demands so much action if you take it. And here, Martha had got no instruction from the Lord, but she felt like she had to do some things. And not only did she feel like she had to do some things, she felt like Mary needed to be doing some things too. And so she was going to take the pressure that's on her and put it on Mary. That's a lot of people that think, you know what I need? I just need more help. If I had more help, if I just had more help, life would be so much easier. And what Jesus was saying is that, Martha, your answer is not more help. Your answer is doing the one thing, the only thing that really is needful. What is it? It's being a good Christian. It's being a good Christian. You know what I found in my life? And like I said, I don't know your life. I only know mine. In my life, you know what I found? When I focus on being a good Christian first, and what I mean by good Christian is just going to the Lord for no other reason but to be with Him, for no other reason but just to seek His face and not His hand. And there are times to seek His hand. There are times where you go to Him because you need to see a turnaround here or a breakthrough there or a miracle here. And that's all well and good and has its place. But when I've noticed that when I take time just to seek His face, just take a walk around the neighborhood and just say, Father, I love You. I submit my life to You. I want You to know how thankful I am for this, thankful I am for that. And when I go and wake up, and the first thing I do is shut my bathroom doors and get on my knees on that floor and say, everything that is in my life is because, Father, You have given it to me. Without You, I am nothing. You know, I found when I'm doing that with constant care, it's not just a routine, it's because my heart and my affection is pointed there. You know what a secret is? I'm good at all the other things I need to be good at. Messages come to me and they flow, and then I get inspiration on what to do over here and how to calm that situation at work, or how to be over here for this relative or whatever it may be. It's just wisdom comes, inspiration comes, and instead of working from perspiration, I'm working under inspiration. What's the difference? I'll close with this. I didn't see this until the middle of the service, last service, and I didn't get a chance to say it. This is the difference between Martha and Mary. Martha just took pressure with no instruction. Jesus never told her to do any of that. She just felt like, I need to please all of these people, so she started doing stuff because of the pressure. What was Mary doing? She wasn't just sitting at Jesus' feet, but she was also doing what? Hearing His what? Words. Let's look at it real quick. We're closing here. Watch this. Verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also did what? Sat at Jesus' feet and what? Heard His word. And this is the difference. When you focus on being a good Christian first, just coming to Him, the Lord will put it on your heart. I want you to believe for this. And when you have His Word on it, you not only have instruction, but you have grace that comes with it that makes carrying out that instruction a whole lot easier. And in that time you're sitting at His feet, just being a good Christian, man. I'm not talking about anything elaborate. Just being a good Christian, and on your heart you get, you know, I need to do this at work. And you see what you need to see, and you know what you need to know, and you go out and do it. Man, it cures the whole thing, because you're not just acting with works or perspiration. You got inspiration. The Lord told you to do it. And so when you do it, man, it works. Friend, I want to encourage you. In your life, like I said, I don't know all your life, but in your life, can I just make a recommendation for you, to you? Just be a good Christian. What do I mean by that? I mean, there's a whole bunch of do's and don'ts you're going to hear, and there's going to be a whole lot of things that people are enticing you to do, even for the Lord, but come at His feet and just love Him and let Him know that you do. And then out of that, if He prompts your heart to do something, just do it. Because when you do, there's going to be a grace that comes with that instruction. Friend, He rewards those who diligently seek Him. I want to encourage you, do it. Go after Him. Just be a good Christian and let Him know that you love Him and appreciate Him. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me pray with you before you leave. Father, we come before You today, and I thank You for all of these people here. Father, I thank You that You just minister to them in a big way. Father, I ask of You right now that You would just bless them and give them grace for this week. Just fill them up, Lord, and put Your hand upon them. Father, I thank You. If there's anyone who needs to make a decision for You today, let them feel compelled in their heart to make that decision. We love You, Lord, and we give You the praise for every good thing that is in our lives. You truly are a wonderful, wonderful God. In Jesus' name.